You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That's probably slightly off topic. What was the question again?
The Wire.
There's growing conversation around whether electric vehicles could offer a more stable, cost-effective alternative to petrol cars. But while EVs are often positioned as the future of transport, questions remain about whether New Zealand's infrastructure and electricity system are ready to support the widespread adoption. I spoke with Professor Nirmal Nair, an expert in energy systems and renewable integration from the University of Auckland, about what rising fuel prices mean for New Zealand, whether EVs are a realistic alternative, and if our grid is ready for the transition. In your recent comments, you say fuel price volatility is exposing how dependent New Zealand is on imported fossil fuels. How vulnerable does that leave us in moments like these?
Well, the vulnerability can be decided based on how much days we have before rationing starts. So there's always, each country have their different levels, you know, of security. So currently we are in level one. So those levels depend upon how much of a stockpile we have already. And I think we have about 35 days or something like that at the top of my head. So different countries have different things, right? So so if you don't have fuel, right, so which is, we are talking about petrol, gas, all the other derivatives, so, you know, which are transport fleet depends on, then we are vulnerable, right? And, but it's not only us, but all other parts of the world as well. So so we still have time, but yeah, these times we are vulnerable. So how the country manages is, initially there will be a price hike, right, the retail price hike. So people kind of generally, you know, are more efficient and things like that. But if it goes beyond that, then, you know, there'd be rationing, right? And so that stage has not come yet, but if the supply crisis continues for, let's say, another 2 or 3 months, then we would have to start looking at it, right, and start utilizing whatever our spare strategic capacity is.
You describe electrifying transport as one of the most effective ways to cut emissions and reduce costs. How achievable is that switch for everyday New Zealanders right now?
Well, if you want to make a switch, yes, you can do it immediately right now. There are still, you know, currently there are 3% of passenger vehicles, which is about 2 million, something like that, currently, who own an electric vehicle, right? So it's easy to purchase it and buy it, right? So from an emission viewpoint, that would be, you know, the you won't have to spend petrol or diesel, right, for your vehicle, passenger vehicle. So so 3% of you know, the car owners here currently have EVs, so that switch is possible. The cost part is the running cost I was talking about, right? Not the investment cost, right? So so that would be the price of electricity, right? And so that is much cheaper to run compared to, you know, purchasing petrol and diesel to run it.
Only around 3.5% of New Zealand's vehicle fleet is electric, compared to 30% in, say, Norway. What's holding us back?
It's not only holding us back, it's holding the rest of the world back, right? So this is considered, electric vehicle was the first use case of electrification, you know, way back in 1920, when electricity was first kind of established somewhere around the 1880s. So the first use case for electricity was actually electric vehicles way back in 1920. Right. So, but then that discontinued because we had internal combustion engine, and everyone went for, you know, petrol, gas, and things like that. And that's history, right? Now we are looking back again at that option back again. So already existing, you know, passenger vehicles, we already have, all of us have it, right, in terms of internal combustion engine. So then that means we consider today in 2026 this as a new technology, while electric vehicle was a very old technology, right? But we currently have that. So that switching is taking the inertia off. So in innovation, we call it as the S-curve. So the S-curve is basically, there is a minimum threshold after which it becomes commonplace and everyone would want to own an electric vehicle, right? So Norwegians have thought about that for a long time, and since 1990s, they have had policies. So there must have been very low uptake of electric vehicle in Norway way back in 1990s, right? So this 30% number is currently there in Norway right now, right? So so that's what I was comparing Norway with New Zealand, right? So we have the electric vehicle, we have that. Most of our passenger vehicles are imported anyway, right? Even the internal combustion engine, right? Everything is imported. So theoretically, we have to make a choice whether we want to, are we really meaning what we are talking about, and do we want to switch, right? And if we can do it, so that's holding us back. What's holding back us is us. Right. So that's why in that article I told, do you want to make a choice, right, as New Zealanders? So nothing's stopping us from doing it. Right. But then, of course, we'll have to worry about other things, who's going to pay the money and things like that and so on and so forth. So that's just the general inertia of, the S curve. Right. So we can go from 3% to 30%. That's not a problem at all. But again, it depends on whether we as a country are ready to do it.
How prepared is New Zealand's electricity system for widespread electric vehicle adoption?
Well, we are geared for it. Electricity in New Zealand is as old as 1880s, right? So currently, we are powering homes, we are powering all the new devices and things like that. So, and we are only 3% anyway, right? So hypothetically, if you say, 50% of all our electric vehicles are suddenly penetrated, then even then we might consume, let's say, top of my head, 5% more electricity. So our electricity system is geared for that anyway. So that's not a problem, right? So it will be one additional load, right? And that can handle it. So, and we will be building up the grid, strengthening the grid, and so on to build it up. So from an electricity viewpoint, it's not a big issue. So a grid issue, but of course it has to be well signaled. We have to do, we have to put some fast chargers and things like that. And currently you can charge your electric vehicle slowly from your home as well, right? So nothing new, it's just like connecting a new device.
You mentioned that electricity pricing and when people charge will become important. Can you explain how that might affect households?
So currently, first I'll talk about the charging thing, right? So just like if you go to a pump, what do you really do? You go and pump your gas up. Most of us do. Some might fill half a tank or something like that, right? So that we are used to filling up our petrol tank to the full, right? So if we try to do that with an electric vehicle, we can do that. But then if all, usually, humans, they go back home. Usually the charging time would be the night time, right? Because your electric vehicle would be parked in your garage or something like that. Your neighbors would be doing exactly the same thing. All of us would be sleeping at night. So currently everything would be charging, right? So that needs to be coordinated somehow, because if you don't coordinate it, we have built all the electrification based on a certain load. So that's what I was talking about, right? We need to manage the charging amongst them. Neighborhood during the nighttime if you really want, right? So that would be one part of that exercise. You could do that with prices, for example, because as you know, currently, even without electric vehicles, some places they have free nighttime charging and things like that. Students, in dorms and things like that. I do know some of the utilities pay, Thursday or something like that, time of period where they give free electricity and things like that. So we might need to try out some innovative charging mechanisms so that we don't overload the local grid, right? So that's what I was talking about, the charge. And price can be used to kind of incentivize that. When do you charge and so on and so forth? Try to make it a little bit more expensive in the night so other people who cannot manage that can charge during other times of the day. So actually spread out the electric vehicle charging load. That's what I was trying to imagine in my mind when I quoted that statement.
How important is it for New Zealand to transition to a low-carbon transport system?
We have signed up for the policy. You know, New Zealanders like to claim themselves, you know, so we are clean and green and things like that, right? And we want to be good citizens, global citizens. So if we collectively choose, you know, that we would be slowly in the next 10 years or 20 years or 30 years come out of, internal combustion engine fuels like petrol and diesel, at least for the passenger cars, then we have a chance, right? So because we can't preach to the world, right, when we can't ourselves do it. So it really depends upon, we have to compare ourselves with countries which have gone that pathway. Just like Norway is one example, but I can give you a couple of other examples as well. So it depends on whether we want to change or not, right? If not, we have to have a reality check, all right? And currently we are worried about, the petrol prices and things like that. And we are really worried about supply shocks with petrol actually reach New Zealand. So this is the right time to start thinking about this. So slowly we need to wean away from this. And we have signed up the Zero Carbon Act in 2019 anyway, right? And we have policy statements and things like that. So policies are just giving some nudge to people to change their behavior. And we are aspiring to be zero carbon by 2050, I believe. So we have 24 years. So this might be the right time to start this journey, right?
For anyone listening that's thinking about switching to an electric vehicle, what's the key thing they should consider?
So currently, if they're wanting to switch, obviously you might have to purchase, right? So currently, so supply issue is an aspect. So you should look at what the market is. Many companies have now started having their own fleets. You know, the German, the European companies having a lot of fleet associated with that. There are some American companies, of course, Tesla is well known, but there's a whole bunch of Chinese companies as well, and now Japanese vehicles and Korean vehicles. There are, you know, those options. So a couple of things to note. So if you're interested in purchasing, start looking at those options. The uptake is slow. As I mentioned, there's only 3% of the vehicles which has electric vehicles. So people need to look at it. That might be one option for, young buyers, but it's an expensive proposition. I do understand that. The second option might be if some houses have two cars, right? Two passenger cars or three passenger cars or four or whatever that might be. So at least imagine when you're going to replace your second vehicle or something like that, you know, start seriously think about purchasing an electric vehicle, right? So these might be some of the options which New Zealanders can think of. We have the highest ownership rate in terms of population of passenger cars, right? Which is why that number is there. I think it's 2.3 million or something like that at the top of my head for a 5 million population, right? So that's pretty high, so which basically means people have multiple cars, right? So I think we should seriously start thinking a second vehicle. If someone doesn't have a second vehicle, that's fine, you know. But if they're thinking about a second vehicle or a third vehicle, they should consider, picking up a EV option, right? Or at least explore that option before they commit to purchasing their second vehicle.
That was Professor Nirmal Nair from University of Auckland on whether EVs are a realistic petrol alternative and if our grid is ready for the transition.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.